Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PPC show brought to you by AdStage. I'm your host, Paul Wicker.
And I'm your other host, JD Prater.
And we have more hosts today. Who else is over there?
We've got Emma Franks from Hennepin Marketing.
And AJ Wilcox from B2 Linked.
It's the crowd at PubCon. How is PubCon going for you guys?
Oh, it's doing really well. This is day two. We're taking a break to hang out and do the podcast, Paul. That's how important the PPC show is. It must go on.
Right. I know. This is, I was surprised. JD's like, I'm going to have some surprise guests, and people just crash the room. And I'm, the stories you guys are telling about PubCon has nothing to do with any of the content, just about how Joe Martinez was making sheet angels in someone's bedroom. And, you know, are you guys doing any work there, or is everyone just like partying like college?
We're learning.
Yeah. Name one thing you guys learned.
So it is very much an SEO conference. Yeah. And so, you know, for us being the PPC people here, we had our sessions and we got to like teach people and have good conversations. But the other sessions that we go to attend, I'm personally not learning a whole lot, but it's kind of fun to be around SEO because that was how I started my career.
Those SEO weirdos.
Yeah. Lots of fat guys with beards.
It's SEO folks and paid search folks. We're just, for some reason, we're different. I don't know.
Kind of interesting to remember that like marketing happens outside of what we do in PPC, which sometimes it's easy to forget that there's other kinds of marketing out there.
Yeah, we don't care about it, but I guess it happens. I feel that way about content marketing sometimes. We went to the HubSpot conference. I was like, wow, all these people, they don't even care about paid. They're just like writing blog posts. Like that's what they do.
And not measuring results.
Oh man, we're calling the SEO guys old and fat, and now we're making fun of the content people for not measuring results. I hope if you're listening, you're a paid marketer. So we will get into the news.
Please send emails.
Right, JD Prater on Twitter. Just let them know how you feel.
Wikipedia. All right.
We're all on Twitter. You should show up to PPC chat on Tuesday and then you can vent your frustrations. That's where all the paid marketers hang out. So we have a lot of stories to get through and you guys can chime in on any one of them. The most exciting one perhaps for me personally, because JD and I talk about crypto all the time and how much of a fan I am about all the stories your friends who invested in crypto want to tell you about the latest coin. And they all just tanked and now all your friends who are in crypto haven't said anything in months. But Facebook announced that they are going to develop their own version of crypto and get into the crypto game so they could do some microtransactions on Facebook. What do you think of this one?
I mean, if anyone can do it, they have the user base, right? So if they already have the user base, they have a lot of transactions going back and forth. I mean, it does make sense that they could, you know, develop a coin. I mean, I think the rollout would be an interesting one. And if they're actually going to use like blockchain, because then that's actual privacy. So are they going to honor the privacy of the blockchain?
Well, right. That's a great point. It segues into the next story too. But on this one, what's interesting is they only put 50 people on it, which sounds like a lot, but at Facebook, that's like, you know, a drop in the bucket. But they do have a team working on it. And you mentioned the point about they have this huge user base. As you know, we talked about they're combining WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and Instagram all together onto the same infrastructure. So that means 2.7 billion people will be using one of Facebook's Messenger apps. And that's like, I don't know, how many people are on the planet at this point? Like 20 like billion?
Seven million.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they have like nearly everyone on the internet.
That's pretty much everybody that can now use a blockchain-backed digital currency. So I think if I'm in blockchain, I'm probably a little nervous in some ways because maybe I'll just get stepped right over by Facebook. But anyway, it's good to see some crypto back in the news. But crypto, of course, is all about privacy. So Zuck was, giving us another kind of nothing sandwich conversation of privacy and how they're taking it seriously. Although it sounds like there's actually some changes they're making. You read this more closely than I did. What's going on with Zuck and privacy these days?
Well, I mean, right. It's still a nothing, right? I mean, when they were talking about the privacy, you know, there's no like direct timeline. Right. So we can say anything we want, but there's no timeline. It's like, well, we'll get to that in a couple of years. You're like, well, all right, thanks. But I think the biggest things were, you know, they're going to try to not store sensitive data in countries with weak records of human rights, like privacy and freedom of expression. isn't that like every country? Like, I mean, if you're not like in GDPR, I mean, but even then people are violating it. I don't know. I was like, does that include the US? Because I don't know. I mean, we can get into human rights issues, but
right, I think as we often do.
Yeah, you got to be careful here.
Well, yeah. And now apparently we're classifying privacy and freedom of expression as human rights and not, you know, political rights, which that gets dicey. But I think actually taking these two headlines together kind of paints an interesting picture about how Facebook is feeling about, you know, their future as a company. And I think that potentially the cryptocurrency may be a grasp at, you know, what can we do as people are freaking out about privacy and potentially thinking of moving away from our platforms. We got to do something to keep them here. And as somebody who's has family living internationally, exchanging money overseas can be very complicated. So if they find a way to simplify it and make it cheaper, that's potentially a great growth opportunity to keep business.
Right. And you bring up a great point that we've talked about in general is that as we follow the news, you hear a lot of negative stories about Facebook, but then it doesn't seem like there's much impact on the performance of the company because they just had record earnings. People are still advertising on Facebook and Instagram. I don't know. Have you, between the three of you, have you got any sense that people are trying to move away from Instagram from a marketing perspective because of any of this? Or is this just kind of like headlines that are interesting?
There are people that still don't know Facebook owns Instagram. And so until we accomplish that, literally, conversation, I just feel like Instagram is giving my information to Facebook. Like, yeah, they are. They're one and the same. Yeah.
You should move to WhatsApp.
Oh, you don't like that? Check out Messenger.
Right.
But no, I think to Emma's point, she makes a really good point there. But I think as far as the latest usage I saw was they've lost like 15 million people in the US over the last 2 years. That was the latest stats, mostly younger generation, but it's been filled in with like the older people. And so as younger people leave, the over 50 crowds moving in. But again, that kind of growth plateau of how many people are going to reach as far as number of US citizens on Facebook hasn't really grown. But to go back to like the privacy focused stuff, my guess is this was like a, hey, don't regulate us. Look, we're thinking really hard about this. We promise.
Yeah. We'll see if they don't enter some countries. I mean, if what he said is true and they're going to not store data, or if their service won't work because they're not storing data, and that means they're leaving countries like China or Russia. I mean, that is a pretty big commitment. So we'll see what happens in terms of actually like leaving countries or not entering new countries that I guess there's somewhere on Earth that Facebook is not in yet, but we'll see.
Facebook is installing Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Right. They do have a plane. They legitimately have a plane they developed. I forget the name of this thing. It's like a solar plane, huge wingspan, and it can just like fly super slow, get solar power, and provide Wi-Fi over like Africa. It was only like one test, and I think they actually like canned it because it didn't work. But they are on that level. They are on the, hey, if you're not connected, we're going to fly a drone plane to your country and connect you because we want you online.
Well, this reminds me of something that I've heard Dennis Yu, the Facebook ads guy, say, that Facebook, their goal is to be an ecosystem. Their goal is to be the backbone of the internet. And it's not just to get more people in the feed because social networks come and go. But if they have a cryptocurrency and Facebook becomes the way that you exchange funds and pay contractors and friends, and you know that means every single person who's using the currency has to be logged in, has to have a profile. And so that's just one more way of them getting really their claws, their hands into everyone and really have some stay power.
Right. And they did it brilliantly with Facebook Connect, which was, you know, back when you know, now you can authenticate products with Google or Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, but Facebook really made a big focus on that a few years ago, or maybe a decade ago at this point, to let people use Facebook to authenticate and to add a little like button, you know, so you can, and then add Facebook posts to your website. And that was brilliant because like this move, it really did get hooks in deep. So Facebook's doing Facebooky things. Sounds like people aren't going to change their advertising strategies quite yet. Let's move over to the search land. And I know all you folks really are search marketers at heart. So the big one, well, I don't know if it's big. So some people were like, oh my God, average position is going away. And then I was like, well, has anyone really used that in a while? So I don't know. What do you folks think? Have you been using average position anymore?
We do have some clients that love it as an indicator of like, how are we doing compared to our competition? And I think that, you know, it's easy as a metric to just look at our average position and kind of take it at face value. But I do think that the metrics that have been rolled out to replace it are actually a lot more insightful and give more information about how we're performing relative to our competitors. Obviously, you have competitor metrics like outrank and position above and stuff. But really, the new impression share metrics are going to give you the information that you were trying to get from average position. It's just more distinct and theoretically more reliable.
Right. It's also more difficult to use. So I just before I turned them all on, because, you know, there's like impression share at the top, which is like above organic. And then there's like impression share absolute top, which is essentially what used to be first position. And then you have to turn on, you know, impression share loss due to rank. And suddenly you've got like a million columns and you're like, it just becomes a lot where average position was like, oh, here's this nice simple number for me to feel like, where do I show up on average? So that's gone. But to your point, maybe this data is better just for the, unless you have a lot of time, it seems like a lot of work to do just to figure out something simple.
Yeah. And I think we're going to see more and more that advertisers are going to choose one of the metrics to look at. Like, you're just going to figure out which metric is aligning with my goals. Like, do I need to be at the top of the page? Do I just need to be doing better than everybody else? And then that's the metric that you're going to see become the primary. So it may be different across different industries. But I think that that's what we're going to see more and more versus trying to figure out what are these six different metrics telling me in combination.
Right. How about you? Do you have a personal preference or does it depend? Does it depend on the client?
I will say that I have been favoring top impression share. I've had a lot of success with the target impression share strategy specifically, using top impression share and just targeting like say 95% of top impression share and then having a bid cap that, you know, kind of balances those two objectives. And it's been working pretty well.
Nice.
I just don't like this being taken away because it's not a hard column to calculate. I mean, it's not like it's taking a whole ton of their processing power to just give us a column that has an average number in it. So I feel like this is them taking it away, probably because they want us as marketers to get smarter and to maybe go deeper in our reporting. But I just don't like the fact that they're taking it away because I don't feel like it adds anything to them to remove it.
I think you're giving them a lot of credit there that they want you to be smarter and that you want them to go deeper.
Well, what's the reason then? Like, what's a good reason for them to take this away?
Always be innovating, even if that means removing.
And I wonder how accurate it is. So I think it's a really old metric. It's when right-hand rail was still around. So it was really built for that. And I wonder how accurate it was. Because Google also, they used to have this keyword. Well, their keyword tool has been the same way over the years. Like, they used to have this one tool, but it was like wrong a lot. And I remember when I was at a few companies ago and we were trying to build our own keyword tool to try to figure out which keywords we should be putting into these campaigns. We did all this research with all these keyword tools. And finally, Google got on the phone with us because we were one of their first partners in SMB. So we had access to like super high level, like VP level folks. And the guy was like, look, the keyword tool is like 50% accurate, like 50% of the time. We're like, what? And they're like, yeah, the data, we haven't updated it in like 6 months. And yeah, this is like, I don't know, over a decade ago. So I'm sure what they have now is wonderful. But so we were spinning our wheels trying to figure out like, how come we keep getting this like average CPC, but the tool is predicting and the volume, we should be seeing all these impressions. And finally the guy's like, just stop. It's the data is bad. So I'm picturing maybe that was starting to happen with average position. Is that maybe it was starting to be less accurate. That's the story I'm telling myself.
Probably a lot of complaints coming in too, like AdWords is saying I have an average position of 1.2, but when I search, I'm seeing my ad on the bottom of the page.
Right. Right. Which has probably been the number one question at Google Ads for 15 years. Why can't I see my ad? Why am I not in this position? And then Google had some other news too, outside of Google Ads, which gets into programmatic, which, you know, none of us really care about. Right. But Is anybody here a programmatic expert?
Not okay. An expert, but I have worked with it. Right.
What you should have saw right there was three heads shaking no. But you
the pin drop. Well, there was a change. So, well, do you know enough? So I read the article. Let me just summarize the article real quick. Basically, if you know how the Google Ads auction works, like programmatic display worked the same way for Google through AdX, where, you know, you bid, and then if you win the auction, you don't actually pay the bid. You pay, you know, one penny more than the next bid behind you. So that's, I forget the name of it, a second place auction or something. It's called. So we all know that. And apparently that's how it worked in display land too, but now they're moving to just an actual bid where whatever you bid, if you win the auction, you pay that. And at first I was like, oh my God, this is like a power grab or this is like a money grab. And then when I read more about it, it seems like in programmatic land, everybody else is like that. And in fact, Google had like this weird advantage because their own internal tool could like end the auction and then it needed to see the bid so then it could, you know, figure out this one penny nonsense. But that gave them this like unfair advantage because they could see the final bid when none of the other programmatic networks could. That's what I took out of this. I don't know, Emma, knowing more about programmatic, did you have any feels about this?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the articles that I read talked about bid shading, and I feel like it is more of just like Google is kind of matching what's the norm in the industry. So maybe they're trying to make a grab for more of the programmatic attention and getting kind of more credibility as a real programmatic exchange instead of just like, oh, it's just Google, you know, like they're the little guys, which is funny. But
is that the reputation in the market? Because like, you know, again, I don't know programmatic. If you were going to get like buy programmatic for someone, where would you go? Like, what's the number one source?
Well, it used to be DoubleClick, but now that's whatever Google is calling it. So it's rebranded. It's
Google
still
Ads Manager.
Yeah, it's still Google, but they have, and I don't know enough to know the name of the exchanges, but there's a couple of different exchanges that you can access with DoubleClick, and then it's like, oh, and you also get access to the Google display inventory, which has kind of always been viewed or positioned as like, if you want to start out in display, you use the Google display network, and then if you're ready to branch out, you go into programmatic and you start working with the ad servers and ad exchanges, and you kind of keep that inventory from the display network. And so in that sense, I think they've been viewed as kind of a smaller player in the programmatic space, even if by the numbers they aren't necessarily.
Nice. All right. We had some programmatic chats on the PPC show. The next story is all, you can't see him, but JD is wearing a Quora t-shirt at the moment. So the next story is all Quora.
That's right. It's all I do.
What are you guys, what did you do? Audiences? Is that what this is?
Yeah, audiences from pixel events. So, you know, before you could create these audiences based off of your, you know, your pixel or from specific URLs, but now you can actually create it from standard events. So those like micro conversions or, you know, if they're deeper as well, but, you know, add to cart type of thing. So now you can create an audience based off of that, but not only create it, you can now target it. And they also make really good lookalike audiences for those seed audiences. So that's kind of the three benefits from this one.
Can I ask you a Quora expert?
I'm not an expert, but yeah, all right.
so as far as implementation, do you have like a separate tag or code that gets implemented for that event, or how do you define what those events are?
Yeah, so it's the same way as you would do with Facebook. So yes, there is that separate code for all of those events. So you would say like an add to cart, and then you could do like GTM, trigger, you know, add to cart, right? And you can have like those different things. So there are those 9 standard events that are very similar. They're the exact same as Facebook's. And hopefully we'll be able to add those custom events, which would be pretty cool. Hopefully those will be coming as well.
Right. That is usually the next step. Standard events come first, and then you could build custom conversions on top of those standard events. So right. We'll look forward to those. Also, Facebook did add 5 more standard events.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I think it was back in September, but I just noticed for one of our clients who does like start a trial or something, and we're like, well, that's not a standard event, and sure enough it is. So
Oh wow, okay,
make sure your product team has the 5 new ones from Facebook. They're very like, you know, it's like start a trial and
steal someone's personal information. It's one of the five. Yeah.
Target with misinformation, steal your information,
sway your election.
Install malware. Oh, that's good. That's why I brought you on, AJ. Comic relief.
Nice.
We need a LinkedIn story in here so you can shine. Cora.
I'll make one up.
So, LinkedIn first, new segment.
Right. Let's see. I added a Reddit story. Yeah, we don't have a LinkedIn thing on here. Just start thinking of the latest from LinkedIn, AJ. We'll give you homework while we're talking about Reddit. So I don't know if you read this one. I always go on this rant about how great Amazon is going to be at ads because the whole Twitch, you know, phenomenon and how Twitch is going to be the next YouTube. Yes, I will make a prediction. Why didn't you want to let my prediction music run? So, you know, Twitch, I think there's tons of people using Twitch and they introduced these like concepts of paying like top streamers. And then they also introduced the concept of giving people virtual currency to watch ads. And we've talked about that before. So that's why I like this story. This is about Reddit, which was kind of trying something similar where you can kind of tip a user with real cash or virtual coins in Reddit to reward content creators. In this case, it's content, not necessarily an ad, but the line is blurry. So anyway, long story short, Reddit is now testing not just a virtual currency, but actually real money. And the guy who they're testing with is very strange. So if you check out the link, you'll see. It's very Reddit. And of course, Reddit picks this user whose like name is like something shitty.
Shitty Morph.
Shitty Morph. Right? That's the user they pick. And of course, in this entire trial, the guy has only made $150. So it doesn't seem like things are going great. But
I know. That's an interesting one. It's almost kind of like Medium, you know, where Medium, you know, if you get enough claps, you can get some money off of that. But hey, at least the dude made $150. I mean, I wonder if it's actually going to cheapen his experience. And I did wonder, like when you actually put a monetary value on it, now he's like, oh wait, it's no longer fun now. Right. And I wonder if he'll either try to, you know, game this system, right, where you get, you know, even more clickbaity or engagement bait kind of stuff. I don't know. I just wonder like the psychographics of it.
Right. Well, I think the influencers or the content creators are already playing the clickbait game because they're getting paid on likes or, you know, like something right. Usually translates to how they get paid. But I do think for the observer, like the user, it is nice. I think these virtual currencies do kind of hide the value transaction a little bit. Like it doesn't feel like so cheap. Like I'm paying you for entertaining me when I'm like giving you 10 magical coins instead of like a dollar, you know?
I did like that Reddit's taking an 18.5% cut. I was like, good for you. So this is really a revenue grab, okay?
Wow, so they made, let's see, was about $20.
So I just calculated they made $34, about $35.
Wow. Okay. Well, wait, 20% of 100, 150 is $30. So my math isn't that bad.
And if 150 is going to the user, that's only 78% of what's actually been paid.
Right. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is why you bring the heavy hitting math folks on there. Right. Right.
Like opened up an Excel spreadsheet and figured it out.
Right. Is it divided by the percent?
It's okay.
Nice. All right. So the guys, they're trying it out. Anyway, Reddit ads are a thing, and they're becoming something that you can start paying attention to if you haven't already. And content creation. Actually, I should jump to the other content creation story because Instagram also is trying to make money off content creation and influencer marketing. It's going to be a $2 billion market this year, according to Search Engine Journal. And they introduced a new ad unit called a sponsored post. Well, no, it's a new ad unit for sponsored posts. Mm-hmm. That basically, right now on Instagram, it's very kind of skunk works. They figure it out where like, you know, as a brand, you can contact someone, they can promote your post, but it's not super clear. This is like introducing very clear sponsored creators that are then promoting brand posts and promoting brand content to all their followers. So
I'm a big fan of this one. I like transparency. I like when I know I'm seeing an ad, you know, especially coming from an influencer. A lot of times they're not great at either tagging it as like a sponsored post or a paid, you know, sponsorship, something like that. So I'm all about the, like, yeah, let's call this out. This is a paid partnership. This is an ad. What you are seeing, I am paid. So whether or not I hope, but people don't really care. Let's be honest. Like, they're following these people and they're like, cool, man, give me that diet drink. That's great. I want to lose some LBs. You're skinny and good looking. It must work.
Is this your young person impersonation?
No, that's like my Instagram impression. I'm cool. I'm hip. Look at me. Yeah. No, that's how I feel about all of Instagram influencers. It's like, it's usually a bunch of good looking people talking about health stuff that I'm like, come on, really? This doesn't work.
There are some epic ones on like workouts where there's this new trend of dudes that are like obviously jacked and they're doing like crazy aggressive workouts where they're like moving super fast and like throwing stuff around and then they're running to a pull-up bar and like aggressively pull-upping while someone's like punching them in the stomach. It's the weirdest thing ever. But it is weirdly like entertaining. Like, wow, that looks really intense. I have no idea how it's a better workout than just doing the pull-ups, but like, you know, someone's like throwing medicine balls on the guy while he's trying to do push-ups and they're just, but totally serious, not like funny. It's just like bros gone wild.
Way, I feel like that might be effective because like your adrenaline will jump up and then like you won't feel so tired because you're just like, I'm being attacked. I need to do all of this and survive. And then at the end of your workout, you're like, man, I just did like 150 pull-ups.
Right. I thought I was going to die because someone was throwing medicine balls at me. But hey, okay, so maybe it works. I take that back. I'm going to go try it.
Let me caveat. Yeah. I do like zero exercise. That's but my perception.
For $49.99, Paul, I'll do it for you. I'll punch you in the gut while you do pull-ups.
Thank you. That was what was holding me back.
Bombardment.
This is a partnership. JD Prater LLC. I will punch you in the stomach while you do pull-ups.
Nice. That's essentially what they're doing on Instagram right now. All right. Let's cover a few more things. We have Twitter and Pinterest stories. And then AJ is going to drop something about LinkedIn. Twitter, that's not super exciting. I mean, they're going all in on video. So they have a bunch of new measurement tools so you can see how people are engaging with your content and when they're watching it and all that fun stuff. So not too surprising since video is Twitter's savior.
Yeah, this is way overdue. This one is so like, this is really cool. Like I love their like heat map of day and time when people are engaging with your brand. Surprise, surprise, Monday through Friday, more engagement than the weekends. And then even really like 10 to 4 is mostly engagement. So people are, again, checking out Twitter during work. Not really in the evenings, not really in the mornings. But I thought this was, man, I wish they would have had this long time ago. This was really helpful.
Yeah, I wish I was doing more video so I could play around with all these, like, creative tools. And, you know, everybody's got this new, like, creative library or creative just section of their product now where you can play around videos. Have you guys...
Oh, where are you? Video was so 2017.
That's true. That's true. is anyone doing video over there?
Everyone's doing video. AJ's on LinkedIn video. Emma's like, I'm like paid social. That it's all what video is just paid social. Cora is just like, yeah, words.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about
text. More punctuation.
Right. Wait, AJ, talk about LinkedIn video. So have you actually run some LinkedIn video campaigns and how are you feeling about them?
Yeah, we've run plenty of LinkedIn video, and I've talked about this before, and so it's probably not going to be a giant surprise, but LinkedIn video is incredibly expensive. The starting bid, the floor bid, is 6 cents per 3-second view, and the majority of Facebook advertisers are paying 1 to 2 cents on average. So immediately, you're at least 3 to 6 times more expensive than what you're doing on other platforms. So what I tell people is go test your creative, test your video strategy on other platforms where it's cheaper. And once you've really nailed the funnel, you know, you have creative that is engaging and spurs people to action, then bring it over to LinkedIn and it has potential to work really well, but it's just an incredibly expensive place to be testing your creative from the start.
Well, that is some great advice and no surprise, LinkedIn's expensive again. That's yeah. It's like the bumper sticker for like Jeff Weiner. It's just, let's make the most expensive ad impressions you can buy.
Priced in Silicon Valley.
Right.
But high quality audience, Paul.
These are business people who make decisions only available on LinkedIn. They don't actually use the internet. They just go to LinkedIn every day. They read their pulse feed and then go to work and spend money.
Oh, what happened to Pulse Feed? I wish they, I miss Pulse. I loved it. Anyway, okay.
You were their one user. Well, I mean, it is their news feed now. I think Pulse was their attempt at trying to do like a Medium type thing, but they just said, we'll just make it a news feed.
I loved it.
All right. Did you ever write anything on Pulse?
Well, no, I just read it. I'm a consumer, Paul. I'm not a contributor.
Yeah, I think that was everybody's experience, waiting for something to show up. And then the last story was what? Oh, Pinterest has a new catalog ad or something like that. I've not looked at Pinterest in a long time. We're doing so much lead gen, not looking too much at the e-commerce world. So I don't know. Anybody know what Pinterest is up to?
Yeah, man, they're, you know, filing for that IPO, right? So you got to get in with some really cool stuff. So we had some guys on our team from Pinterest. And so they gave us a little bit of the background on this. They've been developing this one for quite a while and they finally launched it. So I think it's kind of a big deal for them, but this is huge. So imagine taking like all your product catalog that you would put on, you know, Google, you know, through like Google Merchant Center, or you go through Facebook, you know, Facebook/Instagram, right? And now you can do that through Pinterest. So your entire catalog, you can say you have thousands of products, 10,000 products now all become pins, which is great, organic reach. And now you can also promote all of them in a very easily targeted shopping ad. I think it's going to be cool. And so, and it's also self-serve. You don't need to be managed to do it. Huge.
I'm really excited. To be honest, I didn't realize that Pinterest didn't already have this because I feel like, so I kind of oversee the industry updates to keep tabs on it for our team internally. And I feel like every month, I'm like pulling some kind of new shopping update from Pinterest. And so this is really cool. And I didn't realize that it wasn't already in action.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with you. I was like, where's the new ad format? I didn't realize that you couldn't do like feed-based ads before. So this is huge. It also might bring back, there used to be all these feed management companies like PriceGrabber.com that used to manage your feeds and send them to like, this was back when Google was free and it was only one of like 20 comparison shopping sites. Then they all went away, Google became paid, and they all went out of business. But now it feels like Amazon, Google, Pinterest are starting to build a little bit of an ecosystem again where you got to manage that feed and that spreadsheet.
On the note of Google being free, I don't know if you guys saw on the SEO side, Google said that they're going to start showing shopping, essentially shopping ads organically based on your Google My Business feed.
Yeah. Wow. And Google Images too. That's another launch too. Google Image. So I must be in some kind of like beta. I've seen shopping ads in my images, but I didn't realize it must have been some beta test they were doing. I just thought it was rolled out. And so when I saw that announcement, I was like, oh, I've been seeing this. I've been clicking on those things. They're awesome.
And they're free for the advertisers, so keep clicking on them. Emma, they're free when they show up in images, or they're putting shopping ads like in organic results somewhere, or just in images?
I think the article that I saw, which I admittedly did not read super closely, but it sounds like they're showing up like with the paid ads, there may also be some organic ones tossed in there. I don't know how prominently they'll be featured, but it's rolling out.
Yeah, I mean, if that happens, that is huge news for all the shopping folks, because that, as we all know, that was like a huge source of free inventory until Google moved to the paid only model. Maybe Google's now seeing the quality of those results going down because it's only paid. And, or, you know, I wonder too, because you see a lot of times they're just dominated by the big retailers. So maybe this is Google's way of trying to get more local businesses into the product feeds. So because they, obviously you can't compete with Walmart and Amazon. And, you know, if you have anything that's sold at Walmart and Amazon, you're like, good luck buying a product ad.
Yeah. Or it may also be a nudge to kind of get people to start uploading their feeds because, you know, feeds can be complicated and no one wants to deal with that if I can just set up a search campaign. But, you know, if you can get this free inventory, then we can take it away again later and you'll pay for the same thing because you already have your feed there.
Right. Smart. Those are all the headlines we have. AJ, we gave you some time to think, although we did talk about video. Is there anything that LinkedIn has done new that the people of America need to know about?
Well, if you've logged into the platform in the last quarter, you'll see the message saying this is the new platform. click here to go back to the old one. And we've had a banner over there for the last 2 months that said, you know, you're going to be forced onto the new experience in February. It is now March. So I'm really glad they're dragging their feet because I do not like the new platform. But I'm getting a lot of questions about this. So for those LinkedIn advertisers out there, here's what you need to know about the new platform. When you create a new campaign, that campaign will be in draft until you create an ad for it. So I don't like being forced to create an ad because I create all my ads in bulk separately. So I like to create audiences first, but just realize that's what you need to do. And so you'll be creating a dummy ad or sponsoring maybe something that's already on your company page. Then you can go and immediately pause it to prepare your own creative for later. So anyway, don't be surprised if you can't find the how do I activate my campaign button.
Yeah, I saw Melissa Mackey on Twitter today saying, "Why, you know, I can't do this because it is a totally bizarro experience." I tried to clone, you know, we run our own LinkedIn campaigns and we had a lead gen campaign and I was like, I can just clone this. No problem. Oh my God. And it was the most painful experience because also I found that I couldn't do a dummy ad and then pause it because it went into review and then I couldn't pause it because it was in review.
Yes. Here's a little hack for you. If you're in review, you can still delete the ad. So you can't pause it. It's in review, but you can go onto your company page, find your list of direct sponsored content posts, and then go and like hit delete on that post. Then the ad platform has no option to keep it in review because it no longer exists. So that's something you can do. Create a dummy ad, then go delete it.
Has anyone at LinkedIn ever tried to create a campaign using their own interface? Like just to create it, this is mind blowing. And then even to find how to edit ads.
Facebook.
Wait, say that again?
I said LinkedIn only advertises on Facebook.
And I see them on Bing. But
in Twitter.
Yeah, in Twitter.
Yeah.
The last two times I've been out to the offices in San Francisco, I have just begged, like, please, please, like, there's more you can do with this interface before you release it. Please don't force us on it. I need a reverse button, like,
yeah. Well, this is the year of the new interfaces. We had Google forced everyone over, you know, very begrudgingly. And then LinkedIn's new UI. Facebook, we talked about last time, has a new UI that has appeared on some people's Twitter feeds. And I think search engine land. Ginny wrote about it. So there's another new interface, although those look like kind of minor changes and, in my opinion, improvements to the current weird giant slider that comes out of the side and covers everything, making the whole point of using a slider irrelevant. If it covers everything, why give me a slider? Just transition the page. But I've ranted about this before.
As the product guy.
Yeah. Well, true, because people love sliders. They're always like, let's use a slider. And it's like, you know, there's a reason to use a slider because you need to see the stuff in the main page. So you just want to like slide something over, but you still need to like look at the main thing. If you don't need to look at the main thing, then a slider is just a waste of time because there's animation and it's just, it's unnecessary. But sliders became real popular. So everybody's got sliders now, whether you need one or not. But Facebook realized, I think, because then what happens is the slider keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as people put more crap into the slider. And then you're like, I really just need the whole page. Just move me to a page. Let me do what I need to do. And then I'll just hit the back button. And then that's what Facebook is. And the new UI, the slider is like small and it's fixed. So it stays there. It doesn't cover everything. So I think that's an improvement. But seems like new UIs from everybody. Soon we'll have a new Twitter UI, I guess.
Preach, Brother Paul. Preach.
Fingers right. crossed.
All right. Well, that's all the news and banter and guest hosts we have for you this week. If you want more headlines, I can't promise you more witty comments from our guest hosts, but I can promise you headlines in your inbox every week if you head over to blog.adstage.io and sign up for a newsletter. Other than that, enjoy your week, and we'll be back to our normal podcast with all this weirdness happening. Oh, and we did take last week off. I was sick. I apologize. It feels good when I actually get tweets from people saying, hey, where was the podcast this week? It's like, wow, someone cares. So I apologize for that. We will be back to our regularly scheduled weekly podcast. So have a good week, everyone.
But wait, we actually have three more guests.
Just have like 10 people walk in and be like, I'd like to talk about Reddit ads some more. Well, that was fun. Thank you guys for piling in JD's room and sitting through that.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
His bathroom smells amazing.